Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So yesterday afternoon, we here at the Brian Lehrer Show got an email alert that caught our eye. The subject of the email, General Motors to make technology announcement April 7th. Oh, April 7th is today. And inside the email read, GM will reveal a revolutionary vehicle which will address the significant issues of congestion, safety, parking, affordability, and energy concerns in cities. A revolutionary vehicle, you say? One that will solve congestion, safety, parking, energy all at once? Reading this email, we couldn't help but think of when we'd last heard this sort of hype.
The Segway HT is built for the way you move, and there's a place for one in every lifestyle. So get ready to change the way you think about travel.
Yes, that was 2002, when the Segway was billed as the solution to all our urban congestion and pollution troubles. And while it certainly has found a niche market, it has fallen far short of revolutionary. So guess what? We weren't that wrong to make that connection when we got the email from GM yesterday, even though we were just kidding. Turns out GM's new revolutionary vehicle, revealed this morning, is essentially the new Segway. Details are emerging about what they call Project Puma, the Personal Urban Mobility and Accessibility. Should say device at the end of that, but it doesn't. It's just the Personal Urban Mobility and Accessibility. The Puma, a new electric two-seat two-wheel vehicle. Two-seat, two-wheel. It's sort of a Segway on steroids, or as one person snarkily put it on an online chat board, an ATM on wheels. Incidentally, you can see a video of it on our website. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. So is this the answer for embattled GM? Is this going to save a company that just received $7.5 billion in government life support? And is it going to drag America along to energy efficiency while we're at it? Well, joining us now is Dave Rand, Executive Director of Global Design for General Motors. Mr. Rand, thank you so much for doing this on the day of the unveiling. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Describe the Puma for our listeners. I just mentioned two-wheeled, two-seat, and it's covered, right? It's not like a motorcycle?
It's not like a motorcycle. Basically, the architecture is the wheels that are transverse and not tandem with two passengers on board. It is more than a Segway.
I think I understand that, but you mean the wheels are side by side. They're
not one in front of the other.
Okay.
That's correct. It's really more than just a Segway PT. It is designed to be an enclosed vehicle to have weather protection. The driver and passenger are seated. It's a more comfortable vehicle. And it is, we think, a more robust solution to urban mobility than what is currently offered. And certainly we see this as something that is more sophisticated and has more usability than the current Segway PT.
It runs on batteries, not gasoline?
That's correct. It has a lithium-ion battery that drives electric wheel motors.
How far can you go between charges?
Well, right now we're looking at a range between 30 and 40 miles, depending on the load of the vehicle and also at what speed it's being used.
What's involved in charging the battery?
Well, it's fairly conventional at this point. We see the vehicle being charged at when it is parked at home overnight. It could also be charged when it is parked during the day. It's fairly conventional in that respect.
And it can't go more than 35 miles an hour?
Well, and while that doesn't seem terribly speedy, if you consider that in general, urban traffic tends to move around 8 to 15 miles per hour in most congested urban cities, that is pretty adequate.
Is your vision that it would not be allowed on the highway but just on the city streets?
Well, that's correct. It really wasn't designed as a highway use vehicle. And again, given the limitations of the speed of the vehicle, that's not what it's designed for. Really, this was a singularly focused vehicle from a crowded urban environment perspective.
We can take a few phone calls. We have, think of it as a 10-minute press conference on the day that this new vehicle is unveiled by General Motors, with Dave Rand from GM, who's in charge of developing these kinds of things. He's the executive director of global design for GM. 212-433-WNYC. Do you like these things at first blush, folks? You can see the video of it on our site at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Might you want one to get around the city? 212-433-9692. When will you actually introduce it to the market?
Well, we haven't announced any plans at this point, but it is right now we will have a more developed prototype by the end of the year, and early next year we'll have a prototype that will demonstrate all the technologies that we're planning to be on board for the vehicle.
I read that you're targeting 2012. Is that correct?
Again, I don't have a date, or at least I'm not aware of a date where we're specifically going to introduce the vehicle. As I know it today, there are no plans yet. We are here in New York today to announce the relationship with Segway, and also, given that the auto show is here and given that New York is just that type of crowded urban environment that we're describing, it's really the right environment to make the announcement.
Did you take it out for a spin in Manhattan today?
I haven't had a chance to do that yet, but when we started working with Segway, I was allowed to drive the vehicle, though there was a co-driver next to me to ensure that I drove the vehicle safely and returned it.
Did it feel safe? It's not something I think I'd want to run into an SUV with.
Well, no, neither would I, but the vehicle is actually a lot of fun to drive, given the small footprint and the amazing maneuverability. I mean, the vehicle can turn around in its length. But there are technologies that will be on board that will prevent it from actually hitting SUVs or other vehicles because it can sense those vehicles and avoid the collision.
What do you mean it can sense those vehicles?
Well, part of the technology that's on board is vehicle-to-vehicle communication, which means that the vehicle can sense where it is in the environment and also other vehicles within that environment. So it could actually avoid an impact. But in case it can't avoid an impact, it can slow the vehicle down to such a speed where it is a very minor touching.
How wide is it?
It is approximately, I think, about 5 feet wide. I mean, given that...
5 feet? That's tiny. So is it a one-seater?
No, it's two people next to each other.
Snugly.
Well, actually, it accommodates two passengers fairly comfortably. And again, you know, the images that are being released today are of the prototype, which is basically the platform with a roll cage structure on it, which, frankly, isn't terribly appealing aesthetically. But going forward, you'll see much more developed vehicles that are fully enclosed and really make a very strong aesthetic statement at the same time.
What's the price point?
Right now, we're talking about a vehicle from a purchase and operation standpoint that probably is about one-third to one-fourth the price of a conventional small car.
Unpack that for me. What is it on the showroom floor in today's dollars?
We haven't really come forward with the exact price, and of course, given the fact that the equipment body style hasn't been fully determined at this point, we can't lock in a price yet, but again, it's substantially less than a conventional small car.
Jack in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Dave Rand from GM. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Just fine.
Yep. Yes. I'd like to know if this vehicle was carrying two passengers, could it also contain a takeout of a dozen donuts and a coffee, light and sweet? I'll take your answer off the air.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, the vehicle is being designed with capacity to carry other things as well. I'm not sure about the dozen donuts with the coffee. The coffee may be the deal breaker here, but the fact is, we have designed numerous types of vehicles and looked at body styles that have some kind of packaging for groceries and other items. We're very much aware that people will carry things in this vehicle besides just two passengers.
Ted in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ted.
Yeah. This is a two-wheeler. This is what you're saying?
That's right.
This is would be totally unstable then. What you need, you have to have a third wheel.
Why not?
Well, that's and this is the issue where the technology from Segway comes into play. The Segways are dynamically stabilized, dynamically balanced, and we're using that technology to also dynamically balance this vehicle. The takeaway from this is we're allowed to do a vehicle with a very small footprint, and we're allowed to do a vehicle that has the amazing maneuverability that we talked about.
What's the biggest obstacle to having it ready? You said you're not ready to set a market date. Are there some technological hurdles that you still need to clear?
The technology that we're describing today is actually on the shelf. There is nothing new here from an invention standpoint. The intrigue of this vehicle is that we're able to take these technologies and package them together. Now, I think the biggest problem is integrating the vehicle in today's traffic and with today's conventional automobiles. There are ways of doing that, and certainly, you know, an approach from a bike path standpoint could be one of those. On the other hand, we see in some urban environments like Shanghai, where numerous types of vehicles like bicycles and mopeds, small trucks, seem to coexist on the same road. So the integration of the vehicle in today's traffic probably would be one of the most challenging.
So you'd need a public policy declaration from the cities where this would be introduced as much as technology from you, correct?
Yeah, I think that's very true. And again, we are having conversations with cities about what their interest, their appetite to take on this type of vehicle.
So what would it require? Would it require its own lane?
I think to begin with, that would be a good start. You know, the its own lane where this type of vehicle is really interacting with other vehicles with this type of technology.
That's such a heavy lift, though, especially for a new product. You know how crowded the streets of New York are. There's all this battle that always goes on over just getting enough width for a bicycle lane. There's going to be an additional lane for this vehicle?
Well, you could argue that it could use a bicycle lane, but the vehicle would also have applications in sheltered environments like universities, state parks, you know, as a beginning.
A critic, Jason in Manhattan. Jason, you're on WNYC. We have 15 seconds for you.
I just wanted to say that I think that GM deserves to fail if they're coming up with ideas like this.
Why don't you like it?
This is absolutely ridiculous. Who would want to buy this thing? And did they put it in front of focus groups? Because who in America? This is not what America needs. Absolutely not.
Well, they would say it's small, it's fuel efficient, etc. Go ahead. What do we need?
We need cars that people can drive now. They can drive them on the freeways, on the highways, and in the cities, not something that needs its own lane to be built.
Jason, thank you. Just a few seconds, Mr. Rand. Did you focus group it?
Oh, actually, we did do a focus group. We did it with some population of young drivers, and we did it a population of we have a...
And they liked it?
And they liked it. They understood what it was about, and they also understood how it could impact their lives.
How about the new CEO of General Motors, Barack H. Obama? Does he like it?
Well, we haven't had any comments from Obama yet.
Okay. All right. Well, it's just out this morning. Listeners, you can see the video of the new GM two-wheeler on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Dave Rand, Executive Director of Global Design for General Motors, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.